we recognize tonight how important this attribute is of God, that it is the number one attribute of the Old Testament of God, and pretty much the foundation of the gospel, the foundation of our need for the gospel, it all rests upon the fact that our Heavenly Father is holy. So beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." So I've entitled our message, Holy, Holy, Holy. Let's pray. Dear Lord, give us Your mighty presence tonight and Your guidance, and use Your word and its power to impact us tonight in a way that would grow us and refine us and make us more like Jesus. Lord, may we bring honor to You as we look at this amazing passage. And may we be reminded that You are holy. So have Your will in this service. We give it to You. We love You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. He saw a throne, the Bible says here in verse 1. A throne. High and lifted up. Remember, our Father made the universe. He is the King of the universe. And He sits on a throne in heaven. And if we're born again tonight, one day we'll get to actually be there ourselves, which is an amazing thought, that He would allow sinful man into His presence. But He will. And we'll be able to experience this amazing thing of God's holiness, His presence in heaven of all places. Remember, in the Old Testament days, the high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies once a year. And that was an earthly temple, representative of this place in heaven. But God tore that veil from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross, saying that the way was now available for us to enter God's presence because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But one day we'll actually be able to be there in our new bodies and be in God's presence. Go to Isaiah 57, if you would. And we'll see here that God refers to this place as a high and holy place. Notice Isaiah 57:15. Isaiah 57:15, the Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Notice it says His name is holy, and that He dwells in the high and holy place. This is our Heavenly Father. He is holy. Matter of fact, we're told in Revelation 15:4, He alone is holy. And since Jesus is referred to as the Holy One, then He has to be Jehovah. But this throne in heaven is a holy place, a high and holy place. When we're in God's presence, we're in the presence of holiness. Remember when God came down and met Moses at the burning bush, what did He say? "Remove your shoes, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And then the captain of the Lord's host said the same thing to Joshua, which had to have been Jesus Christ appearing to Joshua. He said, "The place whereon thou standest is holy ground, because God is holy." Now, keep your place here, if you would go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 2, where again we're reminded that in heaven, our holy God sits upon a throne. Revelation 4, 2, the Bible says, "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." And every unsaved person one day will get a glimpse of this throne just prior to being cast into the lake of fire. Because we read in Revelation 20 about the great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. They will just get a glimpse of this great white throne, and then they'll spend eternity in hell. Praise God for salvation. Because we actually get to be there. Isaiah was given a glimpse. We get to be there. And the Bible tells us here in Isaiah 2 that there were seraphims. And if you keep your place in Revelation 4, hopefully you're still there. Look at verse 8. These seraphims are not cherubims. These seraphims actually mentioned once in the Bible. Here in Isaiah 6. And they're different from cherubims. We don't know a lot about them because they're only described in this one passage. But here in Revelation 4, when we see the church gathered around the throne, we see these four beasts in Revelation 4:8. It says, "And the four beasts, each of them had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, was and is and is to come." So it looks like these four beasts with the six wings that say, "Holy, holy, holy," may be the same seraphims that we're reading about in Isaiah chapter 6, because they're both saying, "Holy, holy, holy," and they both have six wings. But these seraphims were created simply to bring glory to Almighty God and His holiness. Imagine what a privilege that would be. But it says here in Isaiah 6 that they cried one to another in verse 3 and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." You say, why would God say it three times? Why would He have them say it three times? Well, I think He wants us to understand how important it is. That is, again, it's the foundational truth. Why do we need salvation? Because God is holy. And we have broken His laws. We have violated His holiness through sin. Why can't we get to heaven on our own works? Because God is holy. And sin can't be allowed into God's presence. So it takes supernatural intervention through the blood of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. It always comes back to the holiness of God. God is holy, and only God is holy. I mentioned that verse in Revelation 15:4 that says, only God is holy. This is how He wants known. If you go back to Exodus 28, when Moses was giving the priests their guidelines, their laws, one of the things that had to be engraven upon the breastplate that the priests wore, here in Exodus chapter 28, if you return there, verse 36. Look what had to be engraven on this plate. It said, "And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and engrave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord." To remind Israel, every time they saw that breastplate, our God is holy. You know, the gods of most of the heathens are mean, sinful gods. But imagine how blessed we are that the God of the universe is holy. And yet loved us enough to make it possible for us to one day be with Him despite our sinfulness. It's amazing, an amazing story. But He is holy, and only His holy. If you go to Psalm 99, the Bible tells us that because He's holy, it should have an impact on us. Psalm 99, if you would, notice verses 3 and verse 5 of Psalm 99. The Bible says, verse 3, "Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy." Look at verse 5. "Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy." How much we need to remember this when we get on our knees and go into our prayer closets and spend time with God. Notice it says, "Worship at His footstool, for He is holy." we have an amazing privilege, access to the throne of Almighty God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're encouraged to approach this throne. In Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why are we allowed to access this throne, His footstool? Because of Jesus. But He's holy. And we must remember that. We must worship Him. We must magnify Him. We must adore Him and lift Him up because He is holy. Look at Psalm 30, if you would, and verse 4. Psalm 30 and verse 4. Where the Bible says, Psalm 34, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." How often do we remember His holiness? God says we're to be giving thanks at its remembrance. Do you know that because our Heavenly Father is the Holy One, that's why it says right on the front of here, Holy Bible. Did you ever wonder why it ever said that? That word holy, we just look right over it. The Holy Bible. Well, look at Romans chapter 7, and we'll find out why it says Holy Bible. And it's because the Word and God are one and the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is holy. God is the Word, and the Word is God. Therefore, God's Word is holy. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 12, where the Bible says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." God's Word is holy because He is. And it just makes it all that much more, or should make it all that much more precious to us, this Word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's holy. And we're privileged enough to have a copy of it and to be able to open it and delve into it and meditate in it and memorize it and study it, this holy book that God has given us. And praise God that because, again, look at Hebrews chapter 10, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have access. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Where the Bible tells us, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Again, this is what God was telling us when He rent that veil from top to bottom. When Jesus died on the cross and there was the blackness for 3 hours, the Bible says the veil was torn. That was God tearing that veil, saying the way into the holy place was now available to man. Up to that point, it wasn't available. The people had to come through the priesthood, but now we don't do that. We can access the throne of a holy God through, as it says here, the blood of Jesus. But do we avail ourselves of that amazing privilege every day and approach a holy God? Because God wants His holiness emulated by His children. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll show you that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. His holiness isn't just supposed to be information that we know. It's not just supposed to be a fact that we tuck away. It's supposed to actually impact us. And it was to impact the Israelites, and it didn't work. But it's supposed to have an effect on us to know that God is holy. Notice 1 Peter 1:15, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." We serve a holy God. And His desire is that His creation, His children, would also live holy lives. Well, will they ever be 100% holy? Not until we get our new bodies. But until we do, it's God's desire that we strive to emulate the holiness of God. It's spend more time in His presence, so it's more possible. Spend more time in His Holy Bible, so that we can be more holy. And our God is worthy of the worship because He's holy. Our God is worthy of everything that we could offer Him because He's holy. And yet a holy God loved us enough, go back to our passage in Isaiah 6, loved us enough to make it possible for us to enter into His presence. You know, the Bible tells us here in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 3, and the whole earth is full of His glory. His glory. Now, the two are connected. Whenever we glory in ourselves or glory in the accomplishments of man, it's a sin. You know why? Because only one is worthy of glory, because only one is holy, and that's our Heavenly Father. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1:29, no flesh should glory in His presence. 1 Corinthians 3:21, let no man glory in man. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Look what I've done. Look at my great kingdom. What did he say after he got to wander around and eat grass for a while? Look how great God is. Look what God did. God's not going to share His glory with anybody. He actually says that. If you want to go to Isaiah 42, verse 8, God makes it very clear that He's the only one who's holy, but He's also the only one that is worthy of glory. Isaiah 42, verse 8. And the Bible says that the whole earth is full of His glory. Isaiah 42, 8 says, I am the Lord. Remember when you see all caps L-O-R-D, that's the Hebrew word Jehovah. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God will not share His glory. He just won't do it. Because nothing and no one else are worthy of it. Only He is. And we just read Isaiah 6:3, the whole earth is full of His glory. Psalm 19:1, what's it say? The heavens declare the glory of God. The glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Look at Psalm 57:11, where again the Bible says that because the earth is full of God's glory, He's worthy to be exalted. He's worthy to be praised and lifted up. Psalm 57, look at verse 11 if you would. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Thy glory. Not man's glory. God's glory. He's the only one that's holy. He's the only one worthy of any glory. And that's why the Bible tells us as His children, what, 1 Corinthians 6:20, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're here to glorify Him, not self, not man, not man's accomplishments, God. No one else is worthy of glory. We're here to glorify God. Philippians 2:11, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. It's all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's all about God. Go to Revelation 15, if you would, please. And again, we'll get another glimpse of heaven. One was given to Isaiah. The other one was given here to the Apostle John. Revelation 15. Notice verse 8. The Bible says, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. It says the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. Imagine that. And no one could enter during that time because it was filled with glory. We won't even understand that till we get to heaven. God is holy. and the earth is filled with God's glory. What should be our attitude? Go to Galatians chapter 6. That Paul explained it better than we could in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Notice what he says. God forbid that I should glory. There it is. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Here's the greatest church planter, the greatest missionary probably that ever lived. He said, God forbid that I should glory. God forbid that we should glory in anything. Because only God's worthy of it. And the earth is full of it. And our God is holy. You know, as we go to our knees, as we go to God's Word, it should really make a difference as we reflect upon the holiness of God and the glory of God. It should change our attitude. You know, why am I here? I'm bringing glory to God. Why am I allowed to go to heaven? Because a holy God became a man and died for my sins and shed his blood for me so that my sins would be dealt with and I would be allowed to enter heaven with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. All comes back to God's holiness. But why am I here? I'm here to bring glory to God and to do my best to live a holy life because my God is holy. And it should impact us. And you know, we just need to be more reflective of this great truth. The holiness of God is mentioned over 600 times in the Bible. Imagine that. If you check every single attribute in the Bible of Almighty God, and there's plenty of them, you would find that holiness outnumbers the others by heaps. It is the number one attribute of God in the Bible. And the one we probably hear the least about. But we as Christians, we need to be in awe, if you will, of His holiness. And I know that's one of those words that the charismatics wear out, but God is holy. And Isaiah was given a glimpse. John was given a glimpse. And both times we see these seraphims day and night, created to day and night, be at the throne and say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Let's pray.